The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently minus 6 degrees and overcast in Montreal. A snowfall warning is in effect today for the Montreal Island area, with 15 centimeters of snow expected. I'm Evan Lindsay, and here are today's headlines. Ontario continues their regional approach to COVID-19 as Ottawa and Eastern Ontario get set to become an orange zone. As the world continues to grapple with the pandemic, Ebola resurfaces in West Africa, and Rwanda begins its vaccination process with 1,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine. The Quebec health authorities have released the latest COVID-19 numbers. Yesterday, there were close to 730 new cases and 15 additional deaths. That brings the total number of cases to over 277,000. Over 910 people were also vaccinated. Across the province, over 800 people are in hospital, of which 130 are in the ICU. Ottawa and all of Eastern Ontario are entering the orange zone of COVID restrictions tomorrow. Most non-essential businesses, including restaurants, will be able to reopen after a lockdown of 52 days. Our reporter Bogdan Litvinenko has more.
Tomorrow, Ottawans can finally visit movie theaters, retail stores, and gyms, while restaurants no longer have to fully rely on delivery services. In-person dining will be allowed until 10 p.m. with a maximum capacity of 50 customers. Ibrahim Ramadan owns a steakhouse in Ottawa called Stacked. He is skeptical of the new changes and believes his business won't see significant benefits once his dining area reopens.
We're still in a stage where, like Doug Ford said, if the cases go up, we might close down. So, like, I have some of my staff that, like, lost their jobs and now they're not returning back when I try to call them. So there's that reason as well. And the other reason is that people are still afraid to go out. Like, I have some customers that are telling me that we'll still not be coming. Those are regular, will be doing only takeout just because they got in the routine and also watching the news. So you lose those customers as well for the meantime.
The reopening has arrived too late for some restaurant owners. Less than a year ago, Rachel Baird opened an ice cream and crepe cafe with her father in Ottawa South. But she was forced to shut down last week since the constant changes in restrictions made it impossible to make a profit.
Around 90% of our customers would actually dine in, so we lost a lot of business. And they keep going from orange to red and then back to orange zone, so you don't really know what to expect next. We couldn't really risk it anymore since we had enormous debt, and our only option was to shut down. So while it's good for Ontario, it's really tough for small business owners right now.
Meanwhile, all bars, nightclubs, and spa centers will remain closed in the capital for the foreseeable future. Bogdan Litvinenko, Concordia News, Ottawa.
La Presse has reported that since the beginning of the pandemic, over 4,000 nurses in Quebec have quit the public healthcare system. This is a 43% increase over previous years. Gabrielle Zambito has the story.
The working conditions in public hospitals are pushing many nurses to their breaking point. I spoke to one nurse who asked not to have their name used. They say that the private sector has never looked so appealing. In the public sector, because many of their colleagues have either quit or been relocated to other units, this nurse has been forced to pick up more shifts than usual. They also say that a big reason for many of their colleagues quitting was an improper administration of the Pfizer vaccine to nurses.
It's not fair, you know. I consented to two vaccines, which is the Pfizer vaccine, and I only got one of them. So I'm not even really, you know, protected from anything, and I'm still being forced to work, you know. And a lot of our patients, they don't wear masks when we go in, you know. So just us wearing our mask and our face shield, and other than that, if they're positive, maybe we'll be positive.
This nurse also says that nurses are treated unfairly. For example, those nurses who were relocated to COVID units were promised a secure position back at their original unit as soon as the pandemic slowed down. But this nurse says when it did slow down in the summer, nurses had to fight to get their old jobs back. Stress, overwork, and minimal pay raises are some of the reasons they believe so many nurses have either left or considered leaving the public sector.
because I've noticed a lot of the new nurses that are coming on, a lot of us are already thinking about leaving the, you know, leaving working in a hospital or maybe even changing where we work, because it's not going to, you can't live like that.
The nurse says that there needs to be a change because too many nurses are on their way to experiencing severe burnout. For Concordia News, I'm Gabriele Zambito.
At the height of winter, people are looking for outdoor activities to enjoy. In Montreal, an organization called La Hiver has set up a multitude of winter activities for people to enjoy. They're taking place in two different parks, La Fontaine Park in Plateau Mont-Royal and Mesuric Merlantin Park in the Mile End. Nicole Alexis has more.
La Biver has set up $40,000 worth of obstacle courses where participants can race to climb walls, run through tunnels, and slide down slopes. There is also all equipment needed to practice curling, including synthetic ice to play no matter what the weather is like. The organization has vowed to implement new activities every week, as well as hot chocolate sold every Friday. While they've been able to do a lot, they have been restricted by COVID. Co-founder Olivier Legault says fire pits, benches, and food were all aspects of La Biver that had to be cut. The organization has decided to focus on developing local environments and promoting physical exercise within a fun and safe space.
We want to increase quality of life and see how we can design our cities in order to fit this this particular dimension of the environment. How can we get the community together? How can we increase quality of life?
Costa Miliotis lives in the area. He says he brings his 3 and 5-year-old daughters to La Biver at La Fontaine Park almost every day. He says they try to go as often as possible before the event inevitably ends April 1st.
Obviously, there isn't much to do in times like these, so we've been trying to come daily. We live around the area, and my kids love it, you know, so it's keeping them occupied. It's keeping myself, my mind busy as well.
Nicole Alexakis, Concordia News, Montreal.
As COVID spreads throughout the globe, there's a new outbreak that's causing concern. The Ebola virus has made a reappearance in Guinea and other parts of West Africa. Our reporter Juliet Palin has more. Hi, Juliet. So tell us a little bit more about this situation in West Africa.
Hi, Evan. So currently 7 have been infected in Guinea, and of those 7, 3 have died. And symptoms of the virus include diarrhea, vomiting, and severe bleeding. Unlike COVID, it is transmitted through bodily fluids and not through the air and just breathing it in. The health minister has said that they are experiencing an epidemic situation, and it has been placed officially into an epidemic. And that is also the fact for the Democratic Republic of Congo. So according to these officials, this is very worrisome. The last Ebola outbreak in 2013 to 2016 started in Guinea. And health officials at the WHO say this is a huge concern. And they are tracking the outbreak to try and learn the source with no success so far.
Tell us a little bit more about the previous Ebola outbreak.
So the previous outbreak mainly occurred in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, with many more West African countries, and it killed over 11,300 people. Now, Guinea's government is desperately trying to avoid another massive outbreak. And at the same time that they're dealing with this new outbreak, they are also dealing with COVID-19. And this week alone, on average, the country reported 40 cases a day, with a spike on February 12th, with 72 cases recorded that day.
So what is happening in order to curb this epidemic?
So after the last outbreak, people mobilized very, very fast to make a vaccine, kind of similarly as what we're seeing now. 40,000 people were given the vaccine during the first global breakout, and now there is a stockpile of 500,000 doses for prevention measures ready for the next emergency situation. So the Guinean government has reached out to the WHO in order to gain access to some of these vaccines to try and deal with their current outbreak.
Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you.
That was our reporter, Julia Palin. The first phase of vaccinations against COVID-19 is underway in Rwanda. The national vaccination program started yesterday and will take place through multiple phases. Our reporter in Rwanda, Michelle Malnasi, has more. Hello, Michelle. Can you start by telling us what the COVID-19 numbers are looking like in Rwanda?
Hi, Evan. Of course. There are about 17,000 cases with about an 83% recovery rate. As of last recorded, there are 14 patients in critical condition.
How many doses of the vaccine will the country receive?
So they started phase one with 1,000 of the Moderna vaccine. Rwanda also planned on receiving about 1 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine and over 100,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine within February and March.
How quickly are people going to get vaccinated?
The aim is to have 20% of the population being vaccinated by the end of 2021. They also intend to vaccinate about 60% of the population within 2 years.
And who will be among the first to receive the vaccine?
The first group to get the vaccine will include frontline healthcare workers, those above 65, and those who are immunocompromised, such as HIV or cancer patients. There's also talk about including inmates and people in refugee camps. Rwanda is getting ready for the vaccination process by taking preemptive measures. They recently bought 4 ultra cold freezers, which can go to as low as minus 80 degrees. There's a freezer in each province, and there are also transportation containers to help bring the vaccine to more remote districts. They've also made sure that the nurses have the proper training to administer the vaccine. Rwanda is a bit behind when it comes to having access to the vaccine. Earlier this month, President Paul Kagame cautioned against waiting to vaccinate Africa. He says that by not giving the vaccines to poor countries, it could cause a deterioration of the human development that has been taking place. He also says that investing in giving these countries access to the vaccine could be profitable for trade in the future.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you, Evan.
That was our reporter, Michelle Malnassi. Former U.S. President Donald Trump was acquitted for the second time this weekend. The U.S. Senate voted 57-43 in favor of convicting the former president on charges of inciting a riot on January 6th. However, a two-thirds majority of 67 votes was required for a conviction. 7 Republicans voted against Trump in one of the strongest moves a party has ever made against their own president. While many Democrats and their base remain furious over the trial results, President Biden appears to be moving on, with his focus set on getting a pandemic relief bill through Congress. Moving into sports this weekend, the Montreal Canadiens snapped a 3-game losing streak on Saturday with a win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs took the lead 5 minutes into the first period with a goal from Mitch Marner, but the Habs found their footing in the second period and would go on to score 2 goals to secure the win in the third. Goaltender Carey Price kept the Canadiens in the game with 21 saves, and the team moved their record to 9-4-2. They'll have a 6-day break before traveling to Toronto for a rematch against the Maple Leafs. That's your news to 11:45. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Evan Lindsay.